Hey y'all, this is John Newby with John 2020 Apologetics and Lion and the Lamb podcast. I've been hiatus for the last few weeks. My wife just gave birth to my son, Elijah. And y'all could say a prayer for him and for my wife, who would be great. It'd be a blessing. What you're about to listen to is two young men, two Mormon missionaries who came by my house about 2 days ago. And they wanted to speak with my wife, and my wife said, well, you need to speak to my husband. And they came over the next day and invited them in, and I recorded our conversation, and I wanted y'all to hear it, and I wanted y'all to understand the perspective that I have. I see the algorithms. I know that I probably have some Mormons that follow me. Especially me being a conservative, so I don't mean to be disrespectful or rude, but I have to keep it real. So just listen to this interaction and tell me what you think. God bless you in Jesus' name. It's a brick wall. People's initials who make me who I am.
Oh, like, really?
Good and bad, yeah. Good and bad people.
That's cool.
That's kind of a cool symbol.
You like that?
Yeah, kind of a cool symbol, like symbolic. I like that.
Thanks.
That's
cool. Yeah, so like, you know, there's people on there that did me wrong, and there's people that make me, you know, good experiences as well. But it just makes you who you are.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
That's cool.
Thanks.
I like that symbol. That's awesome.
So what's going on? Who are y'all with?
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay.
Have you met with missionaries before?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. So y'all probably get a lot of maybe some hostility sometimes. So
sometimes.
A little bit here and there.
Yeah. Yeah.
This area is nice though, for the most part.
Yeah.
It's a good area. Navarre's not bad.
So I'm a Christian apologist.
Apologist.
Yeah.
What is that?
So apologist is apology is Greek for defense.
Okay.
So like I study Christian apologetics, and one of my strong suits is like the early church fathers and Koine Greek.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay,
so
that's cool.
I got a. So I don't Christian. Have a. I don't have a doc. I don't have a. I don't have any like seminary. In it. I study. I taught myself, but right now I'm under Dr. Powell at Rocky Bayou Christian Academy, who's got his doctorate in Koine Greek. He's helping me with my Greek. And so when I study the early church fathers and the scripture on the side, and so obviously you probably are very familiar with, you know, the typical Protestant Baptist perspective. Mm-hmm. So that's obviously my perspective.
Okay.
So we're obviously going to be at odds, mm-hmm, with our beliefs, right?
Yeah. And that's really why we're here. We just go and share kind of what we believe in.
Yeah.
And just invite people to.
So this is what I know. This is what I know about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So tell me if I go astray here.
Okay.
Okay. So y'all do believe that Elohim had birthed Jesus through a spirit wife, correct?
I don't know. We believe that Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ are both, they're both eternal.
So you believe Jesus has always existed?
Yeah.
He's always existed. There never was a point in time he was created?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's... I don't know like everything, but I'm pretty sure the way that we believe is that Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ are eternal.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what do y'all know about the doctrine of the Trinity?
We believe that Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit are three separate beings, but they're one in purpose.
So we call it the Godhead. So in other words, we don't believe in the Trinity, where all three are one being. We don't believe in that.
Okay, so now you said three distinct beings. Mm-hmm. All right, so the doctrine of the Trinity is three distinct persons.
So like we literally believe that, like, how there's three people sitting here at this table. Heavenly Father is his own person. Jesus Christ is literally his son, so he's his own person. And the Holy Ghost, he's not a... He's obviously not a body, flesh and bone. He's a spirit, and that's why he can come and dwell on us. And,
right.
And
all that. He's presented himself, though, as he's manifested himself, though, as a dove.
Yes.
He's manifested himself as flaming tongues.
Exactly.
Right, right. All right. So, yeah, so I hold the traditional view of the doctrine of the Trinity, that there's one being of Yahweh, one being, and he has presented himself. He has showcased himself through Scripture, through the Old Testament and the New, from the angel of the Lord of Jesus in the Old Testament to the Holy Spirit being described in Genesis 1 and obviously of the Father. And God has displayed himself as three distinct persons. So the Scripture teaches that there's three, that Father, Son, Holy Spirit are distinct, but there's only one being of God. There's only, like in Isaiah, before no God has been made before me, nor will there ever be a God made after me. Now, isn't it correct that Mormonism teaches that you're gonna become a God one day, a God, lowercase g?
We believe that we can become like God.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do you square that with Isaiah saying no God shall be formed before me or after? How do you handle that scripture verse with that belief?
We're never going to be as good as our Heavenly Father. I mean, because where that doctrine comes from, that we believe we can be a God, or we are, you know, whatever you want, however we want to look at.
Yeah, lowercase g.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I understand
g,
that.
Yeah, yeah. 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 Where that comes from is what we believe God's purpose for all of his children on earth is for us to come to earth, to receive a physical body like he has, and to return back to him, to have all the blessings and happiness and all that, all the things that he has. He wants that for us. He wants us to be just as happy as he is. And so, I guess where that, when we say we can become like God, that's kind of where that comes from, because that's what we believe our Heavenly Father wants for us. Does that make sense?
Yeah. See, what scripture would you use to support that?
Support that.
That God wants, and this isn't like a condensation.
Yeah, for sure.
That God wants us to be happy and to be a God like him. What scripture would you point to that?
So that would, we'd have to look, I guess, at the Latter-day Saint canon.
Right.
Not so much the Bible.
So the Book of Mormon.
Particularly the one, I don't know, you have one in mind?
Let's see. I'm not sure if there's one in 2 Peter that talks about it, but basically we believe that, like, if we can reach the highest degree of heaven, that we can basically that we can progress eternally, that we can continue to progress after this life as sons and daughters of God, and just like how as you, a father, have children, you want them to become like you as a father. They can become fathers as well, but that doesn't mean they surpass you as their father.
And the scripture I was thinking of that kind of, I guess, shows us God's purpose. It's in a book of scripture called The Pearl of Great Price. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah, I have.
I think it's Moses 1:39 is the exact scripture. It says, "This is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." And that's God speaking. And then in the Book of Mormon, when I guess bring up like the happy, what he wants for us to be happy, is in 2 Nephi chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy." So.
Okay. So I'm trying to, I feel like, first of all, let me say this. Mm-hmm. Let me give you some more, let me start more of an Irenic approach.
Okay.
I don't think there's maybe a group of people that I've ever dealt with in my life that is more respectful, hospitable, loving than Mormons.
Well, thank you for saying that.
I'm being dead serious.
Thank you.
I think that as far as like, I mean, I think there's a lot of evidence that how, as far as like maybe the state of Utah, how it's low crime rate,
that's where I'm from, is Utah,
right.
Actually.
Yeah, so you can see a group or a territory, a state where it has a lot of Mormons and how they conduct themselves. Mm-hmm. So there's evidence, you know, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. A couple of my friends are Mormons. I've trained a Mormon who I'm very close with. So I'm very familiar with y'all's culture and your and the way you treat people. It's fantastic. I think it takes a lot of guts to walk up to people's houses and try to give them what you believe to be a salvational gospel. And you probably get the door slammed in your face all the time, but you still do it. So I think that y'all's your dedication and commitment is something that needs to be admired.
Well, thank you very much.
I think if Protestants and Catholics and Orthodox acted like y'all, we would probably be a lot more successful in the way that we evangelize. I think that we could take something from y'all for that.
Thank you very much.
So now, obviously, now you know I'm about to say something in total disagreement, right?
Oh, that's fine. Okay. Yeah.
I think that y'all, Paul says in his epistles that if anyone teaches a different gospel than the one he's teaching, then there would be anathema. That's to be cursed. Have you ever heard someone tell you that before?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Are you talking about Galatians?
Yeah. So how do you handle that? So as far as him saying, because you're giving me scripture, which you believe inspired scripture from 1,800 years later, from a non-eyewitness source. Mm-hmm. Joseph Smith was not an eyewitness source. He claimed of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right. He's not an eyewitness source. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are disciples or their apostles. Mm-hmm. Peter, obviously, who wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. Jude, James, brother of Jesus. Luke was also a disciple of the apostles. So we have independent eyewitness statements from an actual event. So as y'all can see, I'm a cop out front. So,
yes.
So somebody rolls up onto a scene and says that they saw a bank robbery, then we're going to take that person's statement from an eyewitness. Mm-hmm. If someone said 1,800 years later about the bank robbery, then that's called hearsay evidence. It's inadmissible in court.
So are you talking about with like the Book of Mormon being... So, are you talking about with the Book of Mormon right now?
Sure. So Joseph Smith's claim is that the Gospels have been distorted and he's returning it to its original source. There's no manuscript evidence of that whatsoever. I can pull out the Greek and show it to you how it translates and how we can Codex Africanus, Codex Sinaiticus, Papyri 72, Papyri 65, the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Isaiah 53 Scrolls, all this transmission of the text. It has not been distorted. And we can also compare and contrast what the early church fathers wrote, how they quoted the scripture, or Celsus, the first century or first, second century Roman, who was against the Christians, who wrote the true word and quotes the scripture.
One more time. What was your name again?
John Newby.
John? John. Yeah. I don't think we introduced ourselves. I'm Elder McEwen, by the way.
Yeah, y'all did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John, do you know what we do, like our purpose as missionaries?
Yeah, you want to give people the gospel.
Yeah, so
and you also believe that this is also part of like your way of salvation, correct? It's a work salvation.
Like for us, like we have to do this to gain salvation.
Okay.
No, this is like this is completely 100% volunteer.
Okay.
This is
But our purpose is to help others grow their faith in Jesus Christ, to repent, to be baptized, to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and to endure to the end.
But the question is that the real Jesus that you're selling?
Yeah, and what we do is we go and we teach people and we share information with them. And from what we've learned in our own lives, from what we've gained testimonies of through the Spirit, and we try and focus on the primary questions, because there's like two different types of questions. There's the primary questions, like, is God our Heavenly Father? Is Jesus Christ the Son of God? Was Joseph Smith a true prophet? Is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Jesus Christ Church restored back on the earth? Or is the Book of Mormon the Word of God?
Sure.
These are all like primary questions. And then there's the secondary questions that are like infinite amount of questions that go after that, like things, basically just kind of things that you're asking about, like, with God. And really we focus on the primary questions because it's really the most important thing with the only thing that can answer the primary questions is the Spirit. Because we believe, we invite people to read and pray and ask God if what we teach is true. And they can receive their answer through the Spirit. But with these secondary questions, I mean, you don't really need the Spirit to answer those questions. It can be as smart as, you can be the smartest person ever and answer all these questions, but you can't answer the primary questions by proving or disproving the secondary questions. If that makes sense.
Paul says that we test all things in Scripture.
Yeah.
Okay, so since 2 Timothy, you test all things in Scripture. And since Scripture is theonostos, God breathed Scripture. Mm-hmm. Means God breathed out the Scripture. So the Scripture can't go in error.
No, it cannot.
Okay, so that's what we test it on. And so, and as far as trying to like separate the primary issues, what's more important than actually knowing who Jesus really is? See, I think that you're selling a false Jesus. I think that you're selling a Jesus that isn't real. It's a counterfeit Jesus. So you can't be baptized, truly baptized or truly repent without the real Jesus. Just like I can't go buy something with, well, I can, but I'm going to end up facing consequences with fake money.
Yeah. Have you ever read out of the Book of Mormon before?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
But you made a claim, though, that Joseph Smith is restoring the church. So that's a claim. So making a claim is an evidence.
Yeah.
So my retort to you is that since we have manuscript evidence 200 years before Jesus walked the earth from the Isaiah 53 and the Dead Sea Scrolls up into Codex Africanus and Codex Sinaiticus from the early 2nd, 3rd century of the New Testament. And we have papyrus all the way from 1 John and Matthew. We have early church fathers quoting the Gospels, and we can compare how they quoted Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
So do you base your knowledge of the Bible to be true based off evidence or off divine?
Me personally, yes. What sold me on the evidence of Christianity was the evidence of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. So, like my YouTube channel name is John 20:28. It's where Peter Thomas looks at Jesus and says, Ha curios mika ha theos mu, which means the Lord of me and the God of me. Mm-hmm. And that's when he looked at Jesus' holes and his feet and his hands, and he saw the evidence of the resurrection. I was a born again Christian, but I strayed away from Jesus. And I, especially when I went to college, because I lived a bad life and I made a lot of bad decisions. I got kicked out of school for two different schools for drinking and fighting, snorting pills, and I was a bad person. And I started looking at the evidence of the resurrection. The evidence of the resurrection is what brought me back to Jesus. Excuse me, that's my foot. Sorry, buddy. I'm not playing footsie with you. Sorry. But that's what brought me back to Jesus, was studying the evidence of the resurrection. But just like a police officer, I look at the claim of a document. So the New Testament, here is a document. I look at it as it's called an affidavit. And in cops, we write down things called affidavits. Here is an affidavit. And here is a witness statement of an affidavit from Luke, who was a disciple of the apostle. Here's an affidavit of an eyewitness of Peter. Here's an affidavit from John, who wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John in Revelation. Here's what these eyewitnesses wrote. What did they say? Then we have early church father writings from disciples from these men, like Ignatius and Polycarp. What did they write about Christianity in the first century? What did they write about Jesus in the first century? So it would be like one of my daughters writing about me, sitting down with two handsome young Mormon men on in the middle of December, October. Sorry, yeah. They can give an eyewitness based upon because of their their connective tissue to me being their father. Mm-hmm. Or my dad met with these two handsome young men, these Mormon guys, on this day. So it brings weight to an eyewitness. And that's what we have with Polycarp, Ignatius, Clement of Rome, the Didache, all these early church writings. So now let's go back to what Joseph Smith said, that there's been a transmission error of the Christian doctrine through the years, and he is restoring it. I'm asking you to provide evidence. Writing something 1,800 years later is not evidence. It's a claim. I'm telling you that we have the evidence of the early church fathers. We have the evidence of the New Testament manuscript evidence. We have writings from hostile witness statements like Celsus, who was against Christians, who even quoted.
Joseph Smith wrote the Book of Mormon?
Do I believe he wrote the Book of Mormon? I believe that he was given to him by from Angel Mormona, right?
Moroni.
Yeah, Moroni, excuse me.
Right. So you believe he was led to it and translated it by the power of God?
I believe that it was a demonic entity that gave him the Book of Mormon.
I see. Gotcha. Okay, I see.
Because the Book of Mormon, it's really just tablets of these prophets, and I'm sure you know it's prophets and the people that wrote in the ancient Americas, the record of their the dealings of the inhabitants there.
But what's the evidence of that?
There is evidence of the Book of Mormon to be true. Or, well, there's not evidence of the Book of Mormon to be true, but there's a lot of evidence of things in the Book of Mormon. And that's...
I do think that there are some with the archaeological evidence. I'll give you that, 100%. Yeah. My question, though, is that as you brought up a difference of issues, is what is the evidence that Jesus Christ is Satan's brother and that Elohim birthed him through his spirit mother? Like, what early Christian believed that?
Well, these questions, this isn't really what we're doing right now isn't really helping us fulfill our purpose. Like we have like friends that we have friends that can answer your questions that know more than we do because we're 18-year-old kids. And
yeah, I wasn't trying to like put y'all in a corner.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't trying, but
these are good questions.
These are great questions.
But y'all show a lot of heart and vigor and grit going from house to house because you believe this.
We've gained testimony through the Spirit. And right. That's why we do this.
Right.
I know that.
But again, Spirit, we test. But again, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that they're through the test of the Spirit.
Even if you don't believe that what we're saying is true, I know that the Book of Mormon is true, that Joseph Smith translated it, and that it is the Word of God. And I believe that this is Jesus Christ's restored church.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you believe the church was just dormant for 1,800 years, even though Jesus said that the gates of hell should never prevail against my church?
I believe that this is Jesus Christ's restored church. And we can...
Can you answer that question, though?
I believe that Jesus Christ's church was lost off the earth for a period of his priesthood authority was lost off the earth for a period of time, and then it's been restored on the earth.
Do you really think about what you're saying, though? When Jesus said that the gates of hell should never prevail against my church, and he's a high priest, so you're saying the high priest lost his church, even though he said in Matthew 16, the gates of hell shall never prevail against my church. So how is that? How can you square that statement?
Why do you think God would allow the Christ Church to leave the earth?
Say that again. I don't believe that the church is.
Let's look at it from our view. All
right.
Why do you think God would allow that to happen?
Allow what to happen?
The fullness of the gospel, the priesthood authority, to not be on the earth.
It's never left.
But I'm saying we're looking at it from our view, though.
Oh. So steel man, your argument. I would say that through time. The argument is through time that Christianity has since the further we've gotten from the apostles and Jesus, the more watered down it's gotten, and it had to be restored.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my point is,
why could that have happened though?
Through time.
Well, why did that happen? Like, what did man have to do?
Satan, demons, demonic forces that pull man, have man chase his internal. Things that he wants, his beliefs, just the enemy doing that, and
you believe that God gives his children agency or the gift to choose.
The gift,
in other words,
like, yeah, I'm an Arminian for sure.
So, like, in other
I'm
words,
not a Calvinist.
He's not gonna like force something down your throat. You have to believe.
No, that. I'm not a Calvinist. Although I do think that Tulip and although I'm a Protestant, I do think that there is some interesting concepts about Calvinism. Like, for instance. John the Baptist was in the mother's womb, and he leaped for joy, and he was already baptized with the Holy Spirit when he was around Jesus. So he didn't make that decision; he was already ordained by God. Or Mary didn't pass some like special Jewish girl school to become the mother of God, the Theotokos, the God bearer. She was already decided by God to do that. So I do think that there's some evidence of the Calvinist perspective. But I think those are special cases. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I square that circle for you. Mm-hmm. But I do believe in free will, if that's what you're saying to me. Yes, of course.
And so I guess looking from our view, why that was allowed to happen is because God loves us. Do you believe that God is a loving Heavenly Father?
I believe that Yahweh is God is Father, Son, and Spirit.
Okay.
And they've manifested their love by three distinct persons, mm-hmm. and they've done that through the eternal Son, who's always existed, was not birthed by a spirit mother, died and rose again from the Father, and they are sealed with God the Holy Spirit.
Do you believe that Heavenly Father would give us free agency because He loves us?
Yes.
Okay. So because of that, He's not going to force any of His children to say, you have to follow this.
Correct.
You can choose whatever you want.
Correct.
And so I guess the evidence of Christianity being changed and distorted is, look at all the churches in the world.
Sure.
There's a whole bunch of different churches. And we're not necessarily saying that there was no truth on the earth whatsoever. Because obviously, like, you believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in Jesus Christ.
But we believe in two different Jesuses.
Well, that's a matter of opinion, but Jesus Christ, like, the truth, we believe, like, the basic truths of the gospel were still on the earth.
So, right? So in John 8, when Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am, how do you interpret that?
We believe that Jesus is the God of the Old Testament, mm-hmm. but we would rather you talk to one of our friends that knows more than we do about...
Yeah, so back to that. I'm not trying to, like, get you on an I gotcha moment.
Yeah, no,
I promise you, I'm not.
We appreciate
just
your questions.
I promise you, that's not what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Okay, but what I'm doing though is that I'm just showing you all the same type of passion. This is what I see. Again, mm-hmm. I see two young, handsome men walking around in neighborhoods because they believe in this, mm-hmm. and no matter what anyone says to them, they're going to keep doing it because they believe in what they believe. Well, I am just returning the same passion.
That's awesome.
To you two.
Yeah,
that's awesome. All it is. It's nothing personal.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, we appreciate the discussion.
Right.
We appreciate the discussion.
Just
don't want.
I know that, look, and I'm not trying to. Like, I'm not. No, God humble me. God humble me. I know a lot more than the average Christian that you deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I know that, mm-hmm. and I know that y'all were probably not prepared for somebody who knows what I know. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it wasn't like, again, to make you feel uncomfortable or to make you feel like you're outmatched. What it was because I wanted to show y'all love and give you the gospel that I know. Just like that's what y'all are doing.
Yeah,
so we're the stalemate here. That's all it is. We're doing the same thing.
We appreciate the discussion. It's just
right. We
don't want to give you something that we don't know
or
don't really know for sure.
Well,
you know,
I think that we, as far as go back to your question, and I know that y'all probably think I'm a lost cause. And you're gonna probably try to leave here in a second. That's fine. I know how Mormon missionaries work. You're supposed to go to houses that you know that you could probably work with. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't keep your time much longer. So, I think that when you brought up about how Jesus or how we have free agency and we can decide to do what we want to do, so therefore we can have a multitude of churches, and that's how you can handle what Jesus said in Matthew 16. I would say that. I think that's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
I think, though, that even though we've had, like, the Great Schism in the 1900s or the 900s when the Orthodox and the Roman Catholic split, or whenever the Protestant with Calvin split in the 1500s, I think that the reason that we all, even though we're at all three odds with each other, if you want to say that, we mm-hmm. still maintain Father, Son, and Spirit. We still maintain the doctrine of the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
We still maintain that the Scriptures are not in error. We still maintain that that Jesus is the same God in the Old Testament, which y'all do too, but there's obviously I see a difference between it, even though you don't want to yield to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that.
Yeah.
But we are on agreement with this, mm-hmm. like as far as Protestants, Catholics, and Orthodox about the identity of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave you with this. I think that it's fascinating that every, and you know that, and I'm not being disrespectful when I say this, please.
No, you're good.
Please.
We've heard it all.
Okay. So, obviously, you know I view y'all as a cult, right?
Yeah.
You know that, right?
We got that,
okay. Every single cult in the world all has one common denominator. They all have a different Jesus than what Protestants, Orthodox, and Catholics believe.
Mm-hmm.
We might argue about the Eucharist. We might argue if Mary was a virgin, a perpetual virgin or not, if she bodily ascended. We might, Christians, Baptists, or excuse me, Protestants, Orthodox, Catholics, we all have our issues, trust me. But we all agree on the doctrine of the Trinity and the deity of Christ. And I think that it's fascinating that every single, from Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, to Black Hebrew Israelites, to Iglesia Christa cults, they all have a different Jesus than the one we have.
Well, would you like, if you have questions to, like, if we do believe in Jesus, or like, if you want to, like we said, we can have like one of our friends talk to you.
Sure.
And like, if that's only if like that's something that.
Yeah, I love discussion. I love discussion. You can go ahead and give them a warning that I'm gonna want, I want, and listen, if you can prove it, I'll convert. Why wouldn't I? I'm a cop. I follow the evidence.
Yes.
But understand that. Understand that the early church fathers, from Polycarp to Ignatius, all the independent eyewitness statements, they all teach the same Jesus that we hold to, that y'all don't agree with.
So if I just tell them like what like one or two of your main questions would be is like.
All right. So no, all right. Fair point. So my number one main question. Okay. So the argument is that look at all the different churches. Joseph Smith brought it back into order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my argument would be, or my question would be is that how can you have a witness statement 1800 years later, number one. Number two, how can you say that the manuscript evidence that the Bible's been corrupted when we have Celsus and Ignatius and Polycarp and early church fathers all writing and quoting the scripture in the first, second century, us finding scriptures on cave walls and on mosaics in people's houses and graffiti walls and alleys in Rome, where they're quoting the scripture, and how can you have a hostile witness statement like Celsus, who's quoting the scripture, who named his book The True Word, mocking John 1:1 about Jesus, and quotes the scripture. So we have all these sources quoting the scripture, but Joseph Smith is saying that our scripture evidence has been distorted. So how can you tackle all of this manuscript evidence? We have 5,400 pieces of papyri that go that stretch all around the world, and so, then say that it's been that it's been mistranslated and misabused.
To sum that up, like how? Sum that up.
How can you? Okay, to sum it up, how can you say the manuscript evidence doesn't prove the Protestant? How can you say the manuscript evidence does not prove the Catholic, Orthodox, and Protestant view of Jesus, a.k.a. the Trinity?
Alrighty. It'll probably be over, like, we can probably try and do it over, like, Zoom or something.
Okay.
But... Well, could we grab your phone number and we can text?
Of course, bro. Come on. 850. This was all love, I promise you.
Oh, I mean, we love the discussion.
This is all
great.
Love.
No, this is great. We appreciate the discussion. This is what we like to do. So.
Yeah, I was told by men that I follow,
mm-hmm.
that work with Mormons, that whenever you do get don't tell me. Y'all are called, don't tell me.
You can't look at the name tag.
Oh yeah, it is on the name tag, isn't it? What's it called?
The Church of Jesus Christ.
No. I know your church, but aren't you called like a
elder?
Yeah, but isn't there another name like y'all that go from house to house?
Missionaries.
There's another name for it.
Those are the two I got.
Okay. All right.
Proselyting missionary. I don't know.
Yeah. Full time missionaries.
I forget.
You're good.
But I appreciate y'all. I think you're nice young men. Okay.
Thank you very much.
All
right. Likewise, thank you for sharing what you believe with us.
Course.
We appreciate it.
Do you have any questions for me?
Can I have another water?
Of course, bro. Yeah, I was told to always treat y'all with respect because you're always treated badly.
We appreciate it.
And then to show you love and respect and invite you in. Y'all ever heard of Dr. James White?
I've heard of it, but I don't.
He's big into Mormonism is one of my weak links as far as apologetics go. Mm-hmm. So, but I was told, he told me, because he likes to work with Mormons and he tries to convert Mormons to the more traditional Orthodox Protestant position. Mm-hmm. And but he always, I admire him a lot, and he always told us to whenever we do encounter, it's always young men, very nice. People treat them bad. They get spit on, things thrown on them, doors slammed in their face. They're outside sweating, walking, and you know, collared shirts and ties to show them love and respect, because you are an image bearer of God. Mm-hmm. You are. You know, we're brothers in humanity, mm-hmm. and you're to be treated and loved with respect.
Yeah, we appreciate
so
that.
So I'm sorry for whatever you're going through with other people.
We appreciate you saying that.
I'm sorry that you've probably had a lot of Protestants who have maybe been disrespectful to you. But the main reasons why they probably like that, though, is because they don't understand our belief.
Yeah.
The Protestants are very poorly studied. Mm. Catholics are very poor studied. Orthodox are very poor studied. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons study their Bibles much more than we do. Mm-hmm. So,
can I share a scripture with you out of the Book of Mormon before we go?
Go ahead, bro.
It's just kind of talks. I mean, you can view it in a lot of different ways.
Go ahead.
It's just the Father talk. And he says, "For it must needs be that there is an opposition in all things. For if not so, my firstborn in the wilderness, righteousness cannot be brought to pass, neither wickedness, neither holiness nor misery, neither good nor bad. Wherefore all things must be needs be compounded into one." So with missionary work, there's a lot of bad to it, but like there's a lot of things that happen that aren't fun, but the joy that comes from it, it's just this amount of bad, this amount of joy comes from it.
Sure. The question is are you gonna be held accountable one day? The question is, you're gonna be held accountable. The question, are you when you stand before Jesus, is it the Jesus that I and the original Christians believe? Or is it the one that that Joseph Smith said he restored 1,800 years later with his witness? And you're going to stand before Jesus one day and you're going to have to answer, is he going to say, good job, my servant? Or is he going to toss you into a realm of torment and torture because you followed a wrong Jesus, because you trusted?
Do you think God would do that?
Of course. Jesus talked about hell, I think, almost 50 times in the in the New Testament.
That's a good question.
So are you following the right Jesus?
The question is, would Jesus cast us to hell because of our lack of knowledge of the gospel?
That's a good question.
We'll leave on that.
I can answer that, but okay.
We can't do it.
Okay, guys. Oh, let me get you another water, bro.
Thank you.